shock women into uncontrolled hysteria, who prey upon the innocence of children.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
I wonder if it isn't all a dream, a nightmare.
He's the Silent Bob to my Jay. It's our master of ceremonies, Johnny Thunder. What's up, Lunchbox?
So you're Jay, like smoking the Jay.
Smoochy moochies.
Oh, wait, so I'm the fat one again. Anyway, yeah, what's going on, genius?
I know you're in a hurry tonight, so I won't keep you long. I know that your local salon's back open again, and you need to get your hair done, so I get it.
My hair needs to be did. My hair's and my toes. Hey, you know what? No, dude, I mean, the mask is a plus. I mean, I got that face scarf from Immortal Masks. Do you see that with the big teeth and stuff?
I know. Like, you know, you're going to be like 8 months from now when the masks are no longer required.
Oh, well, I'm just going to still. Oh, I don't mind.
You'll be at the local supermarket with the mask on.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I go to the dentist and they're like, sir, why are you undressing? I'm like, oh, I don't mind. You know, or I go through the airport security and I just get completely nude. They're like, sir, no, you're good. I'm like, no, I don't mind. I'd love to be nude.
With his loose skin and old balls. Gross.
Yeah, so I got that cool one from Immortal Mask, and I also ordered have you seen the ones from Jason Baker?
No.
He's SFX. He does special effects with Tom Savini. They just did those, like, sort of like half Jason hockey mask ones. So they sculpted this like Jason hockey mask, and underneath is like the blast like reusable mask. So they just did a new one that is in production now, and it's basically a big skull face. So I ordered that one. So it's this big, literally like half, I guess it's going to be sort of like a latex cast skull face. So like I'm going to walk around with a big giant skull face. Yeah, I was in Walgreens a couple weeks ago and I walked in. I was a big hit on Mother's Day weekend trying to find a card for my wife. And all these people were just looking at me, and this little four-year-old girl like turns. She's like, I really like your mask. And I'm like, thank you. And her mom like grabs her and like runs away like over to the pantyhose aisle.
Is that when you had the...
Yeah, so I think that every day it was how...
You had the mask on and candy bars in your hand.
Come over here and I'll give you a treat.
Yeah, I didn't want to look weird, so I had high heels and a thong too.
I gotta be honest, he's a real dick magnet.
Is that we can, as we kind of live Halloween all year round, now we can actually start wearing the masks almost year round.
Right.
So,
right. As long as you're not COVID-19 positive, you know, there's always a silver lining.
I'm only HIV positive, so it's all right.
Well, you know what? Thank God for that. Uh-huh. All right, everybody, welcome back. Here we are once again. The frivolity never ends. On my side of the bar, I am drinking 2SP Baby Bob, and now. Genius, are you drinking anything or smoking anything?
Yeah. Everything's legal out here now in Massachusetts. We've got both my favorite pastimes are legal. Let's see, we've got my sponsor. I have a sponsor. That's right. I did procure one. Yeah, it's a little blast from the past. It's not wine and it's not cool. Bartles and James wine coolers. This is what you get when you mix industrial white wine, fizzy water, and artificial flavors. It's a drink that was made famous by To Catch a Predator, as this was every creepy pedophile's preferred beverage of choice to lure children into their homes. Bartles and James wine coolers.
It's funny, I'm taking that same shit to avoid the COVID.
I think that will prevent the Kung Flu.
I read about it on Twitter. It must be true.
By the way, thank you for your support.
He's also got a pack of condoms in his backpack.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
This time around, just got a bunch of movie reviews. We're just going to cover a bunch of movies. And you know what's funny about this? I think it's... Was it 6 movies, right? And what's funny was, after I started breaking down what I reviewed, it ends up that I watched 2 witch movies, 2 monster movies, and 2 home invasion movies. Now, again, There's no thought process on my end whatsoever about this show. I wish I could say, like, I actually thought about this, but I did not. So coming up, I have reviews of The Candy Witch, Rootwood, Don't Run, Dead by Dawn, Cry for the Bad Man, but first we're going to start with a review of The Wretched.
Dad, Mom's being weird.
Mom's always been weird. What are you doing up here?
Dylan!
Don't let her in.
My son likes to play hide and seek. Can you bring him down?
I didn't say he was here.
You're a very stupid boy.
Can I help you?
Is Dylan home?
Dylan, down here, baby.
You know, your son Dylan?
I don't have a son.
He had no idea who I was talking about.
Listen to Mommy! Daddy, Dylan!
He's gone. I know it. I'd like to report a missing kid.
Are you okay, Ben?
Where is your sister?
I need you to tell me what's going on. Ben!
Now, The Wretched is a movie from IFC Midnight. And that's actually, you know what's funny about this? And this is kind of a cool side effect of this whole current plague society. Drive-ins are making a comeback.
Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
Yeah, because, you know, I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania, and we have the Mahoning Valley Drive-In that's been around for, you know, forever. And in the past few years, of course, after I moved away, they've started doing some genre film festivals. So they do like a zombie weekend, they do horror weekends and stuff. And so one thing about this whole social distancing and the fact that mainstream theaters are closed is that the existing drive-ins are actually seeing an uptick in not only original programming, but also attendance. So smartly, IFC released this new movie called The Wretched to drive-ins. And because there is really no box office right now, The Wretched is number one at the box office. It's hilarious because I think it made like $180,000, you know, like 36 drive-ins or something. But it's kind of cool. And I actually would love to see more and more drive-ins come back because that's actually a very cool experience. I mean, you remember these as a kid, you know, you'd go and you'd sit there and it's actually a fun thing. So I'm hoping
the drive-ins were the freaking best thing. And it was so sad to see them go down. I get it.
Right.
I understand why what happened there, but especially up north, I mean, down south, like,
right. Sure.
But up here, yeah, you're dealing with a very short season. But
sure,
when
sure.
I was flying out to Vegas, I actually go to this thing called the Logan Express, and it's basically like a hub. It's only a half hour bus ride right through, drops you off at the at the airport, and the whole area where all the parking is was the old Braintree Twin Cinema. It was like the twin drive-in. They still have the drive-in screen there. It hasn't fallen over yet. Like one,
nice.
I think, collapsed. But one's still there, so you can still see the old screen.
Nice.
But it's that I mean, I was thinking about it when I was there, and I'm like, man, I used to love coming here as a kid. We'd go in with the station wagon. We'd take our sleeping bags up on
yep.
the roof and watch the movies up there. And it was, you know, especially for us who lived in the ghetto, it was like a good little break away from everything. And yeah, anyway, I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
I don't want to make you
late for a salon appointment. I understand.
Like I said, my back hair has gotten crazy. I really, really need a perm and highlights. So The Wretched is it's a new flick about this defiant teenage boy struggling with his. I just love these descriptions.
Defiant.
Defiant teenage boy struggling with his parents' imminent divorce faces off with a 1,000-year-old witch. Yikes. Who is living beneath the skin of and posing as the woman next door. So out of all the movies I watched that we're going to talk about this month, I would say this has the biggest budget, probably the best sort of acted And is the sort most competent film that is in our reviews this month. Now, here's the thing about this. It's competently directed, competently, for the most part, acted. You know, there's a couple scares here and there. But my problem with it is pretty much, if you can hear my voice already, it's just, it's okay. You know, it's just sort of so-so. There's a lot of elements which I was struck by. You know, it's, you've got the whole teenage drama sort of setup. There's a whole element, obviously, with this monster living next door. Immediately, what comes to mind is Fright Night, or even Rear Window, you know, the Jimmy Stewart flick. So, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. You've got some scares. There's the typical story. There's this twist at the end and so forth. But my problem with it was just mediocre, in my opinion. I didn't have a big problem with it, but by the same token, nothing about it really jumped out at me as being super original or super engaging. And, you know, from the movie poster, you have the witch with this like big deer skeleton head with the antlers and the rack. So you've got that. And oh, that's kind of creepy. But it really kind of wants to play off of, like I said, it's sort of this uneasy balance between this teen angst kind of romance fun summer working at the marina on the beach and the boats and like the girls in the bikinis, and then you've got this witch next door, I guess, you know. And it's fine, it didn't piss me off, but by the same token, there wasn't anything that really made me go like, hey, wow, you've really, really got to watch this. So if you're into sort of an 80s teen vibe with a witch, knock yourselves out.
It's all for you.
It's all on you. Yeah. So now, go to the drive-in.
Was this the best that you've, then this was the best movie you've seen out of the six, I take it, right? Sort of, kind of. We'll get there.
Well, yeah. See, that's even what I said to you before. My problem was, you know, it's kind of fun if there's something that I watch that really turns me on and I want to like say, hey, wow,
hey,
this
now
is awesome. Yeah, exactly. Or if there's something that's so super shitacular that I can really get excited about. I guess all of these in their own way really don't piss me off and don't excite me. So, you know, each of them have positive and negatives. And again, at the end of the day, what I've been saying for a while now is I'm not making movies. I'm not in movies. Nobody's looking for me. Nobody's greenlighting any of my projects. So, you know, at least they got, you know, something going on. Like I said, I'm sitting in the yard with the dog.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Who the hell am I? Big loud mouth. Big fat. So anyway, all right. So now we go from the wretched with the 1,000-year-old witch, and let's get to the candy witch.
God! I saw her. Candy witch.
What relevance does she have with this house?
She was our nanny.
She was abusing their children.
Ghostbusters are here.
The gift Reese has, it's real.
So he speaks to dead people?
He can see them. We help them move on.
Something's definitely here.
Yes, Candy Witch. This just came out June 9th. On DVD and digital from Uncorked Entertainment. Two ghost hunters are called upon by a distressed family who claim they are being tormented by an evil spirit known as the Candy Witch. But as the mystery of her curse is uncovered, surprising and sinister turns are discovered around the Candy Witch's identity. This is their hardest case yet, and can they possibly solve this evil curse before more people are killed by the demonic spirit? Ooh, scary. So this again is sort of on the level of a lot of movies that I've been reviewing for a while because, well, they're free screeners. This, again, I think it's set in England, but it might not be because a lot of the actors are British, but they're doing American accents. So there's the one lady who, remember the movie Cupid? I think I reviewed that last time. She was like one of the schoolmasters with the blonde hair, and she would kind of go in and out of this American and British accent, which was kind of weird, but, you know, it was fine because I like the kills. This is a very similar movie. So the whole idea of like this, like husband and wife, there are these, you know, paranormal investigators are called by this family who are being tormented by this candy witch. It really is just sort of this premise to set up these kind of cool kills, just like that movie Cupid that we talked about. So you've got the candy witch, and candy witch is sort of this older woman, and she's just sort of like your typical hag witch character. So she's got like sort of the green face and, you know, the nose and the warts and everything else. But what's fun is with Candy Witch, Chris, how do you think Candy Witch kills people? See, there's a test.
With her shoe? With her shoe.
No. Try again. Candy.
With her pointy hat.
Candy Witch. Candy. Witch.
Candy witch.
Candy.
Candy? With candy?
Yes! You get a participation prize. So
a little star for my forehead.
Exactly. Up with downs. So what happens is, what's kind of cool about it is like, basically, you've got this like ghost witch lady just pops up and starts killing people with candy. So the one kill is she takes a lady. Again, for some reason, this lady's making like chocolate fondue. So she's got this big pot of melted chocolate. So she grabs the lady's face and like throws the lady's face in the chocolate. So not only does she drown, but the lady's face burns off from the chocolate candy. Then you have death by candy cane, severed penis by candy cane. Strangulation by black licorice ropes. That's a lot of fun. Disembowelment with the candy cane and then stuffed with butterscotch candy. So that's fun too. So it's kind of, they kind of mix up the paranormal possessed ghost house with witch and murders. And some of the effects are practical, which are fun. So overall, again, it's nothing really that elevates above, you know, your typical sort of hour 15 sort of sci-fi kind of vibe film, but the kills are fun and it's a fun character. You know, I even watch that again and I go, oh, you know, if you kind of want to do this sort of weird candy witch character for Halloween in your haunt, it might be a cool idea. Yeah. So, you know,
Does she have a free candy van?
No, she doesn't want to steal your vibe. So she knows that's your thing.
You dirty bird.
What else do we got?
All right, so let's move on to, do you want to do the two home invasion movies next?
And why not?
Both, which, now again, both of which coincidentally star people who have been in I Spit on Your Grave films. Isn't that interesting? Again,
remakes or the original?
Well, I'm going to tickle your ass with a feather and say both.
Oh,
how about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Or do you want to do the monster movies? Do you want to do...
No, save those to the end. We'll do the...
Oh, wait. Let me guess. You watched one of those?
I actually might have watched one. I'm not going to tell you which one.
I'm going to go with the one that I said is only an hour long about a kid with a monster in his closet, because we all know that you have a monster in your closet all these years.
I got a lot of skeletons in there, that's for sure.
Oh, skeletons and dildos, but... All right, so we're going to go to the home invasion movies?
Excuse me.
So there's two movies this month. The first is called Dead by Dawn.
Hey, look, I'm going to call the police. You just have to tell me what happened.
They. I once was a girl with eyes of dream. I cut her throat to stop her scream.
I'm gonna do what I can to get you back to your family.
There's not much more of that. Pain of little death it begs. Let's the monsters out to play.
Just let the girl go. Give her to us.
You might as well go crazy, right? Might as well go all out.
You have to invite them in.
Then you all die here!
What are we gonna do?
I'm trying not to faint.
No one gets out!
So in this movie, a suicidal man in his remote cabin is suddenly faced with protecting a kidnapped woman from three killers and their sadistic games. Unable to contact the outside world with night falling, he falls back on creating traps to prevent criminals from gaining entry. It's a fight to the death where only the strongest will survive until dawn. So this one, I can basically tell you, is Funny Games plus The Strangers with a twist of Home Alone. And you end up with, okay. it's basically, like I said, starts off with this young woman who's going to a Halloween party, gets picked up in an Uber or something by this dude dressed up as a clown. And he's immediately sort of like Uncle Bad Touch. And you're like, I would just jump out the window and not be in the car ride with this guy. So then you cut to this mountain scene where there's this guy who's about to kill himself because his wife and daughter are dead. She shows up at his door crying, and then all hell breaks loose where it's this creepy clown who's no longer a clown, which I would have recommended he stayed dressed as a clown for the movie, an older guy, and Jamie Bernadette, who is the psycho clown's girlfriend. And basically you end up with this whole sort of weird home invasion where the three killers want to get the girl, but the dude who owns the cabin tries to protect them. And it turns out that the dude who owns the cabin had a wife and daughter who died, but the daughter was obsessed with the zombie apocalypse. So just coincidentally, she created a whole set and room of traps and funny traps and weapons to kill zombies. So literally at one point in the movie, it's like the dude's like running around, like setting up like Kevin did in Home Alone, like sort of this, like, I'm going to put this like rake by the door and it'll hit the guy in the face, and, you know, broken glass under the window and all this other kind of crazy bullshit. So I had a laugh, 'cause I'm like, this just took like a weird Home Alone turn. It's fine. You know, again, it's nothing groundbreaking. The acting is okay. There are some cool practical effects. There's an eye gouged out. There's some stabbings. There's a hand cut off. Stuff like that. Arrow through the chest, I think. I'm trying to think of all the other maiming. Oh, getting run over by a car. Having your other eye stabbed out. So stuff like that. So, again, I wouldn't pay for it. But if you see it on somewhere for free, you know, check it out. Why not?
What else do you got going on?
What else do I got going for me? Cry for the Badman, starring I Spit on Your Grave, a.k.a. Day of the Woman's Camille Keaton.
I know you miss Daddy, but he ain't here to protect you.
Evening, Mrs. Kane. You come out. You come in. I understand our old man's lawyer gave you more than fair offer on this place.
I ain't selling.
There's a contract. My brother's be back tomorrow night to collect it.
It's all real sorry to hear about your husband's passing. Word around town is that Bill Sr. done made an offer on this place. Take it.
These boys are not taking no for an answer. This is serious.
God doesn't give us what we can't handle.
But I ain't here to pray.
How long do you think this is going to last?
Long as it needs to.
This is about a small town widow who is grieving about her dead husband when she receives a deadly ultimatum from the privileged sons of a local land developer who want her to sell her beloved property. She's only given 24 hours to decide. And when her pleas to the town's corrupt sheriff fall on deaf ears, she realizes she must take matters into her own hands. So her quest for justice turns into an all-out battle with a final grisly confrontation. Now, what's nice about this is, again, you get to see Camille Keaton back in action. And I think it's, only about a little over an hour or so. She's holed up in this country sort of farmhouse. Her daughter shows up. These three bad dudes want to break in and basically kill her because she doesn't want to sign the deed over to their evil landlord, Baron father. So it's basically a lot of shooting, a lot of killing. Hands are cut off. People are shot. People are, you know, maimed. All this kind of craziness goes on. I will say there was one brother, and I don't know his name, but if you watch this movie, he's kind of the bigger dude with a beard, and he's actually really funny, and he gives like a really, really good performance, because there's a lot of times where there's this sort of like serious situation going on in the foreground where the older brother has the daughter with a knife and he's threatening the mother and the daughter, and the dude is in the background trying to like get out of his shirt, even though he's handcuffed and he lost a hand, and he's doing like a lot of like kind of physical comedy and stuff. So he actually made me laugh, and I should have looked up his name because it was kind of funny. But otherwise, you know, again, it's sort of a routine defending the home front from these invaders, home invasion. If you're a fan of Camille Keaton, check it out. Otherwise, again, nothing really groundbreaking. Again, more along the lines of a thriller, maybe a suspense film. But given the heritage of Camille Keaton, and given sort of the some of the violence in the movie, kind of falls in the exploitation horror realm. So that is Cry for the Bad Man. So now, before we move on to the two monster movies, one is called Rootwood and one is called Don't Run. Let me know which one you saw.
Let's end with Don't Run.
I knew it. All right.
Because I saw the other one. No. All
right, okay. So Rootwood.
Welcome to the Spooky Hour, your podcast about paranormal phenomena and spooky legends worldwide.
2 weeks ago, I received this exciting email from a Hollywood producer, but she asked us if we wanted to take part in the physical production of the documentary on this legend that's circulating Hollywood.
Right this way.
I want to produce a documentary about the curse of the wooden devil.
We finally reached our destination after 4 hours of driving.
I'm here in Rootwood Forest with Aaron, Jess, and myself.
So the first person that was rumored to have gone missing in this forest was a little girl and her dog. And they found her hanging. They said it was the wooden devil and convinced her to hang herself.
All right, let's get to it.
I can't wait
for
this one.
Do you
want to
read the description or should I read it? All right, so, hey, but dude, I thought about us because I think we missed our chance to be in a movie or make a movie about ourselves, right? So the movie is about two college students. I mean, you and I look young enough to be what, you know, 21 going on 60. So two college students who host The Spooky Hour, a podcast about paranormal phenomena and urban legends. They get hired by a Hollywood film producer who was played by Felissa Rose, which was actually nice to see her in this. So they're hired by this Hollywood film producer to shoot a horror documentary about the curse of the wooden devil. They smell their chance to become famous. Again, it's just like our life story, dude. Together with another friend, maybe PJ Revenant, they enter Rootwood Forest and investigate the area to find out the truth about the wooden devil and its victims. Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
It's basically, I don't know what.
I don't know. You saw it. I didn't.
Come on. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
So, I'm not sure.
It's Blair Witch.
Oh.
Found footage.
Oh, it's a found footage flick.
Well, it's partly found footage because the podcasters who are making the movie...
Must be douchebags. Podcasters, for Christ's
sake. Actually, dude,
they're like the lowest coolest. Of the low.
You suck!
The podcasters who are making the movie take their video cameras out into the woods with their camper. So it's part found footage, but then it's also, you also have scenes filmed basically from, you know, the film perspective. So while you'll have film, you know, found footage in the film, you'll also have scenes of the camera watching the characters film their found footage, if that makes any sense. So yeah, it's basically a play on Blair Witch. Again, this wasn't offensive. I actually wasn't mad about this. I will say, you know, seeing Felissa Rose, she's in the beginning and she's at the end. She's always cool to see. The lead actor, and again, you know, his response to me would be like, dude, what have you done? And I'd go, well, exactly. He's really stiff, really kind of mush mouth, like not believable. The lead actress I thought was engaging. She was fine. But, you know, it suffers from the old tropes of we're going to go out. We're not believing it's day one. It's day two. We're documenting it with found footage. And now here's, you know, another perspective from the camera. It was fine. You know, and then again, there's a big twist and then there's another twist. And by the end of it, again, just like I had said about The Wretched, I just felt just kind of I've seen this before. Nothing really new. And that's fine in certain cases. You know, I said that before. You know, there's things you see and you go, ah, it's fine. You know, it didn't piss me off, but it wasn't exactly entertaining. I wasn't mad that I watched it again. It was free. It's about an hour 20.
Let's bring it home with Don't Run.
Hey, Pete. You want to go across the street with me? I thought it might be kind of fun to meet the neighbors.
You just move in? We've got this neighborhood ritual here.
Just not the way to handle your problems.
Hey, I'm Amy.
You think I'm some dorky loser like everybody else?
It's the ritual.
Stop it!
Stop it? God, wouldn't listen to him.
Stop it!
Hello, Peter. I want to talk to you.
It wasn't his mother's will that you be his care provider should something happen to her.
Listen to me very carefully.
Hey, do you need any help?
My associate is going to stay with you. He is the one in your closet upstairs.
Something in there?
We have some questions we'd like to ask you.
If you are not in bed by sundown, he is going to get you. You may not always see us, but we're always here. We're always listening. We're always watching.
Is everything all right? It's just that I saw another police car in your driveway.
A boy named Derek Crothers went missing. This house was the last place he was seen.
Go. Don't run from your demons, for always they'll know.
Short version is, a timid boy is trapped in his house with a monster that will eat him if he isn't in bed every night by sundown. Little boy moves with his mother to a new house, to a new town, to a new strange house. He's unpacking. He's got his dog as his only friend. Kind of socially awkward, kind of a nerd, maybe on the spectrum, not sure what's going on with him. He is on medication. That's a point which becomes kind of key at one, you know, turn in the story. And then we go through a lot of improbable situations where he's seemingly home alone with no guidance or parents or anything for a while. And it's kind of what I said. It's a 13, 15 year old boy in this house with a dog, and there's a monster who lives in his closet. And if he's not in bed every night, it will kill him. So I think the easiest way to describe this is it's kind of a, I think it's about, it's only a little over an hour. And I think it's a long form episode of Tales from the Dark Side or Goosebumps or Night Gallery or something. And I remember actually specifically as a kid, and I want to say it was Tales from the Dark Side. There was a story about a little boy who lived in a house, and there was a shadow person who either lived under his bed or lived in his closet. And one night the shadow man came up on his wall and said, as long as you are in your bed every night before I come out or come home, you will be safe. But if you leave your house and if I don't see you in bed or I see you outside the house, I will kill you. Otherwise, I'll kill everybody else. So that was immediately what I thought about in this movie. So this is a expanded version of a short film made by, I think he's like the writer, director, producer. And we've talked about low budget on some of these other films. This is literally like the lowest of the low budget. It's currently actually playing on Amazon Prime. So if anybody wants to check this out, I got a screener, but it's also on Prime. Given the limitations of the budget, given the familiarity of the story, acting abilities are limited. The budget is rather limited. Effects are limited. But like I said, if you kind of just take it as, you know, like I said, a segment in an anthology or an episode of, a short horror show, it was fine. I wasn't mad. I wasn't overly impressed. But, you know, again, it's the big twist ending with another twist ending. But it is what it is. Like I said, it's a teenage boy, teenage girl next door. He's bullied. There's a mom who disappears. Then there's an aunt who is there, but she's not there. There's cops. There's social services. And then there's a twist. And you go, oh, okay. You know, so I watched it on a Saturday morning in bed with my dog, drinking some coffee. And I was like, it was fine.
What did Daisy think?
Daisy rolled over and farted in my face. That's pretty much what she thought.
I fart in your general direction.
Hey, everybody. As always, Chris, again, good talking to you, everybody. Thank you for listening, as always. And Chris and everybody else out there, be well, be safe, and stay
scary. Oh, I'm sorry. Stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.